After driving the money changers out of the temple, Jesus begins teaching there. His authority is questioned by the religious leaders who are supposed to be in charge of the temple. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man has two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who has chosen you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lives are full of choices. Every day we face all sorts of choices. Some of these are simple. What am I going to eat for this meal? How am I going to get to work or to bridge or to church? Or for me as a parent, one of those is choosing which battles I am going to engage. Some of the choices we have are life-altering choices. They can be in the form of a career move, in our relationships, or the home, or the place that we call home, where we live. And finally, I think some of them fit under the category of life or death choices. You hear of in the news of elderly folks having to choose between food or medicine. We see homeless people throughout the city who have to choose each night which bridge they're going to sleep under. Or even in a terrible diagnostic, choosing which medical procedure to go. Life is indeed full of choices. Choices that affect our lives in small and big ways. And when I read our gospel lesson today, choice to me is the name of the game. It's what's going on in our lesson. We see this first in the chief priests and the elders choosing carefully how to answer Jesus' question, because they don't want to stumble. They don't want to get it wrong. We also see it in the parable Jesus has told us about the two sons, the brothers who choose and how to follow their father's instructions. How that choice sits with them is also a significant piece of our gospel lesson today. Some change their minds, some do not. Metamelomai, the Greek word here, metamelomai, literally means to care afterwards. To care afterwards. Or to regret. You know, when you've made that decision and in hindsight you think, you know, that probably wasn't the right way to respond or what to do. I'd like to, you know, have a redo almost. I'd like to change that position. In some of your Bibles, you may hear it as translated as what's there is change of mind is also translated as repent. Another word that we're familiar with in the church that we use regularly. In this metamelomai, this word of change also becomes the conclusion of Jesus' parable. The religious folk didn't change their minds, but the outcasts and rejected did. Therefore, they're going into the kingdom ahead of. Now let's take a sidebar here quick to talk about kingdom. God's kingdom. It's more than what we traditionally hear of what we think of as being heaven, where we go after life, where our afterlife resides. It is that, but it's much more than that. God's kingdom is about experiencing the transformative reality of God's presence in our lives today. Experiencing God's presence in our lives today. Jesus' message that we've heard throughout the entire Gospel of Matthew, well, throughout the whole Bible. As we journey through our own lives of faith, I wonder about the choices that we've made as Christians, the choices that we make together as community, and the choices that we make in our own individual journeys. What choices need some changing? What choices did we change for the better? Now, some of these obvious examples, I think, in the history of the church scale throughout history, including the Crusades, when we use Christ to plumage and kill. I think of Luther's words at the end of his life when he spoke hate against the Jewish people, condemning them. I think of the doctrine of discovery that was used to invade native people's lands in our country. I think of the terrible history of slavery and how we've justified it through Scripture. I think of similarly how we've oppressed women's rights in our history. I think of racism that still continues to be a problem in our society, as well as how we treat and reject LGBTQ plus people. These are just to name a few of many more. Some instances, the church has humbled itself, as Paul alludes to in Philippians, and has corrected its stances. Other times, we haven't. And yet, others, we move slowly. And I might add, entirely too slow. Now, individually, where are our misguided decisions and our reorientations in our faith journey? Sometimes we get it right as kingdom people, like the tax collectors and prostitutes. Other times we don't, like the religious folk. Just kind of ironic, isn't it? These choices in working for God's kingdom may come easier than others, and yet some may be major stumbling blocks in our own faith. I'd like to share with you a quote that I came across this past week from Howard Snyder, and I love how he talks about doing God's work. Kingdom people seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. Church people often put church work above concerns of justice, mercy, and truth. Church people think about how to get people into church, where kingdom people think about how to get the church into the world. Church people worry that the world might change the church, whereas kingdom people work to see the church change the world. End quote. Jesus invites us to wrestle with our decisions, to wrestle with our stances as we work for God's kingdom. Not to get stuck in the legalism like the religious leaders of our text. Because if we learn nothing else from the parables that Jesus, today's parables and the ones we hear of Jesus, let it be that they shake things up. That's what Jesus' parables do. They shake up a reality that we know to be true and dear to our hearts. And I'm sure the tax collectors and the prostitutes made some bad decisions along their way. But choice isn't a one and done. In Jesus, In Jesus, there is opportunity for change of heart and mind. We are not forever bound by our choices. This is what we know as repentance. Change of heart, change of mind. But why is this possible? It's possible because God has chosen you. God has named you His beloved child. God died on the cross for you. It doesn't matter where you are at on your faith journey. It doesn't matter what kind of prayer or devotional life that you have. It doesn't matter the good works that you do. It doesn't matter about anything. God chooses you and continues to choose you above all else, because that is what God does. No matter what, God chooses you. God chooses you, period. We don't get to choose God because God has already done it for us in Jesus Christ. Our opportunity comes in the choices we make in response to God choosing us. God loving us without merit, without conditions, without our choosing God back. We get to choose how we are going to love everyone just as God loves us. We get to choose to see value and worth in everyone just as God sees us. We get to choose how we live our lives for the sake of the gospel, because that's what God has first given us. God chooses us first in order that we might choose others before ourselves, to be God's hands and feet here and now. I'd like to read for you again the first four verses of our Philippians text. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. This is being God's hands and feet, because it was God who chose us in Jesus, and Jesus who chooses us, as the text continues. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. That's what we are, in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God, Jesus, has chosen you. Amen.